Hello. Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2017.
How much do you really trust and believe in the power of God to be at work in your life? I mean, really to get in and do stuff in your life to move you out of places of sin where you've been really stuck, things that you know on your own you can't break out of. Do we really believe that God has that power? In the parable tonight, we have this beautiful image of what the Lord has prepared for those who are with him in heaven, the wedding feast of the Son, the King who throws this huge eternal wedding banquet. That's God the Father. The Son is the Lord Jesus, his beloved Son. The wedding is what Scripture, from the beginning all the way to the end with the book of Revelation, describes as the beautiful union of God with his children, with the human race, described in terms of a marriage. That's the way that the Lord sees and has spoken of what is to happen in heaven. And he wants every single person to be there. And so we're told here that the King, God the Father, sends his servants out to invite the guests. They're sent out once, twice, three times, in order that the hall of the King might be entirely filled. The third time the servants go out, and they are the prophets, they're the ones who announce what God is doing. The third time they go out, we're told that the King said to them, I want my hall filled, so give the invitation to good and bad alike. Now, we hear that, and probably many of you are thinking, okay, well, the King must really want his hall filled because he doesn't care who comes in. He has no expectation for those that are going to be there at the wedding feast. Only he does. Because then we hear about this man who got the invitation, who's there for the wedding feast, and is then stopped by the King, who says, Where's your wedding garment? How is it that you got in here without a wedding garment? Now, you might be thinking, well, how could the King even bother to ask that question? He wanted the hall filled. The servants went out and got both bad and good alike. So I thought the King didn't have any expectations, but he did. He wanted the banquet hall filled, but it's clear that He wants those who are there to be ready for the feast. And so what often used to happen in the ancient world, if you had a huge, big wedding like this, and you have people traveling by foot or by camel or whatever it was, when they arrive, they're not going to be dressed all ready to go. Very often, the King or the father of the groom would provide the wedding guests with the garment. And that's what's at work here. So the man who shows up without a wedding garment, it's not as though he had no idea that he needed to have the garment on. And it's not as though the King put him in a place where he needed one, but there was no chance to get one. It would have been offered, and so that's what's going on here. But The wedding garment that is spoken of here, what is that in relationship to the other meanings in the parable? God the Father, the Son, the wedding feast, the prophets who are the servants. The wedding garment for those that are called and can be part of the feast, the wedding garment is, as Scripture often does, it connects our clothing to our life. So to be clothed in such a way that you're ready to enter the wedding feast, that is to say, to have a life that is filled with love of God, love of neighbor, genuinely living out the commandments. It's a life that has allowed the work of God in to bring us to a place of repentance, a change of heart and mind, where we leave the old life behind. And so often the scriptures talk about letting the Lord clothe us in his righteousness, in his grace, and all of that. So that's what's at play here. The invitation goes out to everybody. But those who want to be part of the wedding feast need to have on the wedding garment. And so back to the question I started off with. Do you trust that God's power is great enough in your life to clothe you with that life that is worthy of the wedding feast? I mean, do you really believe that God loves you enough and is able and desires to get into your life and work in such a way that because of what you're letting God do, your life will look substantially different as you allow him to be at work in that way through your life, substantially different over the course of years as it was in the beginning? Your answer to that is huge. There are a lot of Christians who I think they believe that Christianity is more simply a way of thinking, like a philosophy, and therefore really believe that they can hear enough of the faith of the church and yet not really ever have to change their life. There are many Christians who are in a place where they're just not ready, not willing to let the Lord come in and actually bring about a change in their very life. And for you, if you don't believe that the Lord is capable of coming in and actually like radically bringing about a change in your life, transforming you, if you're not actually looking for him to do that, praying that he will do that, what that will end up meaning is that you're going to live a split life where you're saying, well, I'm a follower. I want to be at that wedding feast in heaven. But at the same time, you're not actually letting him clothe you in that wedding garment. And we have to take that seriously because of what's at play in the gospel tonight. To not be clothed in the wedding garment is to not be able to share in the wedding feast. And so I want you to believe in the power of the Lord to really bring about a deep and sincere and authentic conversion in your life. And we need to let him be working in that way in order that we can be clothed in the wedding garment. When my conversion first started to unfold in the summer between my junior and senior year of college, I loved what I heard from the priest who had pulled me into things at St. Mark's, where my family was at the time. I loved to hear about God's great love. I loved to hear that he would actually be interested in my life. I loved the idea that God would actually be concerned enough about the world that he would be at work in the midst of the daily life of the world. All of that really captivated my heart. But you know, 3 months went by before I finally was at a place where the Lord was able to kind of cut into my heart and say to me, you know, I know that you like hearing this message, and I know that you like hearing that I'm interested in your life specifically. Out of everybody in the universe, that I would love you enough to be concerned about your life, but you need to actually let what you're hearing bring about a change in your life. And very specifically, the Lord calling me to be ready to let him lead me out of a place where there was just the typical college life, all of that that I had kind of so willingly embraced, but my willingness to let the Lord move me out of that. Now, that moment, you've heard me share this at different times, but this played out as I sat on the edge of my bed one Sunday night, 3 months into the start of my conversion. And when I felt the Lord cut into my heart in that way, I was filled with fear because I thought that it would have to be up to me to leave that life behind, that somehow by my own power, I would have to be the one who would come up with the strength to leave sin behind. I was just like deadly frightened over that because I knew there was no way that was going to happen, in part because I didn't even want to leave that life. I was, you know, kind of latched onto it, let alone having the power to leave it. But what the Lord convinced me of that night was, look, I'm not asking you to be the one to make it happen. I'm just asking you to say yes enough to let me in to do it. And that night, he moved me to a place where I was willing to trust enough, okay, if you say that doesn't have to be by my own power, and all you need on my part is a yes to let you do the work, okay, with a lot of fear, I will try that. And what I found and is that the Lord is faithful, he's good, and doesn't call us to live a particular life without giving us the grace to move us there. And so that was my own first personal encounter with the truth that we have in this gospel tonight. It's not enough to love the message if it doesn't also lead to a transformed life. And I just need to be really clear on that. It's an uncomfortable message, but if there are some of you here tonight who have believed that you can hold on to sin and just in your head like to hear the message of the gospel, but believe that it doesn't have to translate into a change in life, I need to let you know with great love that you're wrong. That's not the gospel. It's got to lead to a place where our life is deeply transformed by the grace and power of God. And I wouldn't do you any favor by telling you how good the message is, but stopping just there. We need to let the Lord clothe us in a life filled with goodness and love, free from sin, love of God, love of neighbor, the commandments, the virtues, all of that. And so, for any of you tonight that maybe have been trying to have it both ways, and for those of you that are afraid, well, how could I ever do it? I want to urge you, don't be afraid to let the Lord's power in to work in this way. Do you believe that his love and power are great enough to deliver you out of sin and bring you into a new way of living? I want you to believe that. And I want you to believe it enough that you're not afraid to let the Lord in to do that work in you, to clothe you in that wedding garment that is necessary if we really are to share in the eternal wedding feast of heaven.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.